Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn with me, please, in the Old Testament to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6. The second book of Samuel. We'll be looking tonight in the sixth chapter. I know we've already sung a little bit tonight, but I want to sing one more song, if that's all right. I want y'all to sing this old hymn with us. And the Bible teaches us that when we're saved, He lifted us up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a solid rock, established our goings, and put a new song in our mouth. And I believe if you're a believer tonight, you should enjoy singing the praises of God. But let's all sing this song. We've had a few of them physically this past week, but I hope and pray that it'll be spiritually tonight. Y'all sing this song with us. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing. Sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. I hope that's your prayer tonight, that you'll receive a blessing from the Lord. I didn't come here to blister you, I promise. I came here to be a blessing. As a matter of fact, I just called the preacher just to let him know we'll be here tonight. Didn't want to alarm him and wanted him to expect us being here. And he told us about his situation. And so I definitely hope we won't be like a kidney stone to you either tonight. Amen. But I hope and pray that the Lord will use us. And I'm not here just to fill in time for you. I'm not here to waste your time. We're here to do thus saith the Lord. And I believe that we are a privileged people that God would come and speak to us. Can you imagine your preacher coming up here this upcoming Sunday or even this past Sunday? And he just stands behind this desk and says, I'm sorry, church, God hasn't given me a message. God has no message for us today. Let's just pray and leave. Some of you are probably saved in a church service like this. Can you imagine the preacher that preached the night that you were saved just got up in the pulpit and said, I'm sorry, church, there's no message. Oh, we'd be lost and we would be sore in help tonight if it had not been. And we'd be in bad shape tonight had it not been for God wanting to speak to us. And so I hope and pray the Lord will help us tonight. The message that the Lord has laid upon our heart, all it'll do tonight for you, I believe, will solidify what you already believe. I know your pastor real well. We've already been here before. We know your stand, and we appreciate that as well. I don't come here tonight with a new message. If I did, I promise you your pastor wouldn't have me preach anyway. You wouldn't want to hear it anyhow. I come to hear the old, old story. Amen? Hear into what the Word of God teaches us, and we're just here tonight to stir up our minds by way of remembrance. I believe I'm not amiss by saying that usually your Wednesday night crowd or your more faithful crowd, the ones that want to grow more in Christ. And I know several of you probably believe what we're going to be preaching tonight, but I hope and pray that some of you that may be on the fence this evening, and some of you that may have a wayward look in your eye towards the things of the world, I pray that this message will help us to stand firm for the things of the Lord. Again, we want to be a blessing to you tonight. I hope and pray that the sermon will be a help. It kind of reminds me of a pastor who decided that he wanted to have sanitary hot air hand dryers in the bathrooms. And he wanted to kind of have everyone enjoy those nice hot air hand sanitizer dryers after they wash their hands. Well, one Sunday, a member of the church went into the bathroom and he saw all the hot air sanitizer dryers just broken off the walls, broken to pieces on the floor. And the man rushed immediately to the preacher's office and says, Preacher, we're about to have church service and all these hot air dryers in the men's bathroom are just broken and falling out everywhere. The preacher says, yeah, you'll find that in every bathroom on the property. I tore them down. And the man said, well, why in the world did you do that, preacher? Do they not work that well? He says, no, they work pretty good. It's just that I went in there the other day and somebody had written a note on that hot air sanitizer hand dryer for this week's sermon and a sample of it, press this button here. Some of y'all get that in a little bit, amen? I hope and pray we won't blow hot air tonight, all right? hope the Lord will use us to preach, thus saith the Lord, and that the Lord will help us. Let's all stand, please, in reverence to reading the Word of God. I know this is a midweek service, and I don't want to keep you long tonight. I mean that. That's a preacher's famous words, isn't it? Won't keep you long. But 2 Samuel chapter number 6, I want to start reading, please, in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baali of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Amminadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Amminadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Amminadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he had called the name of the place Perazzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" May the Lord add His richest blessings for the reading of His precious Word. Let's all pray before we begin the message tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for everyone that is attending this meeting tonight. Lord, I thank You for the people here being interested in the things of God. That's why they come tonight. I pray that our motives are pure. I pray that all of us will be in unity of the Holy Ghost. Lord, Your Word says how beautiful and how pleasant and how good it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Lord, thank You that we've dwelled together in unity tonight in prayer. But I pray tonight that You would help us to be in unity for the preaching of Thy Word. I pray, O God, that nobody would quench Thy blessed Holy Ghost. May each and every one of us be receptive to Your Word. I pray for myself as the preacher that You would give me Your unction and give me Your power, that we may rightly divide the word of truth. I pray tonight that You would help me to preach the truth in love, and preach it with the power of God. Lord, I pray most importantly for those that are not saved. There may be someone in this crowd tonight that does not know Jesus Christ. There could be someone watching live on the internet tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that tonight they would get it settled. Tonight they'd be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. That they be regenerated and they would be a new creature in Christ. I pray most of all, as well, for those of us that are saved, that You would challenge us and comfort us, draw us near to Thy presence, draw us closer to the cross, help us to be more faithful to Thee than we ever have been before. For we ask all these things in the name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here we have read out of the book of 2 Samuel, and this book teaches us about a man named David. And David, when you study the Bible, is probably one of the most well-known characters in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, his name outside of Jesus Christ is mentioned more times than any other man in the Word of God. And in 2 Samuel, he is not a shepherd boy, he is not killing giants, and he is not running from a king, but he is a king himself. He is king over the whole house of Israel. He has not ruled too long when we come to this text in chapter number 6. But as we come to chapter number 6, a glorious occasion is taking place. It is the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, being brought back to Jerusalem. Now you and I may look at that and say that that's not that big of a deal. We may take that lightly tonight. But church, for Jerusalem and for the Jewish people, much excitement was in the air. There was a buzz in the air. For that Ark of the Covenant was not physically the presence of God, but it represented His presence. It was symbolic of His power. It was symbolic of His purity, of His holiness. That piece of furniture was in the Holy of Holies, and once a year they would go into the holy place, the high priest would, and would sprinkle the blood atonement offering on that, and the sins of the people would be rolled over again every single year. I mean, this was an important and grand occasion, friends. As a matter of fact, it had been 40 years at least since the Ark had been there in Jerusalem. It was taken in 1 Samuel chapter number 6 when the Jewish people went out to battle with the Philistines and they overcame them. But the Philistines became a cursed people because they had that Ark of the Covenant in the same temple of their temple with their false gods. So they said, we've got to get rid of this thing. And they got rid of the Ark of the Covenant. And it ended up in Kirjath-Jearim, the Bible teaches, in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. The last time the Ark of the Covenant was mentioned, church, was in 1 Samuel 14 when Saul went out to battle and he used that Ark of the Covenant. So I want you to listen to me, church, tonight. It has been over 20-some-odd chapters since the Ark of the Covenant had been mentioned. It has been not even a topic. But now, 9 miles away in that town from Jerusalem, in Kirjath-Jearim, they're bringing the Ark back. Man, it's such excitement. Can you feel the buzz in the air? Can you feel the pep rally of the people? As a matter of fact, it just wasn't a small crowd. There was 30,000 at least out there, the Bible says. I mean, they were so excited that the Ark of God was coming home. But this festival soon turns to a funeral. Singing soon turns to sobbing. Gladness soon turns to grieving. And delight soon turns to death. So the question I ask tonight, what went wrong? How in the world did it go from such excitement, such buzz, such thrill that the Ark was coming back, it was being brought back, to all of a sudden there is weeping and there's wailing and God not being pleased? I don't believe tonight that what was brought was wrong. What was brought was the Ark of the Covenant. This was the furniture of God. It belonged back there in Jerusalem. Amen. So there was nothing wrong tonight. I believe we can establish that with what was brought. There was also nothing wrong with why it was brought. It was brought back to bring unity to the people. By the way, church, we need more unity than ever before. Amen. We need the people of God to be in harmony and holiness and in happiness like never ever before here tonight in 2012. So they brought the Ark back for the unity of the people. They also brought it back to consolidate the king's power. They brought it back because that's where it belonged. It belonged there in the capital city, the Ark of God. So there was nothing wrong tonight with why it was brought. But what was wrong is the way it was brought. Is everybody listening tonight, church? The Ark of God was brought in the wrong way. David was not using God's method in carrying the Ark. He was using his own methods. He was using worldly methods. He was using his own program. He was using his own ingenuity. He was using his own intelligence and his own machinery. He was using his own common sense instead of doing things accordingly to thus saith the Lord. His methods did not line up with the message of the Word of God and how the Ark of God should be taken care of. And what we learn here tonight in 2 Samuel chapter number 6 is we learn methods do matter. Methods do matter. And tonight with the Lord's help, I am preaching on that subject. Methods do matter. Our methods do matter. I'm talking about the methods here at the church. I'm talking about the methods in your Christian home. I'm talking about your way of living and you're going about it in our lives. Our methods matter to God, friends. A method, if you can look it up in any dictionary, it simply means a technique, a procedure, and a way of accomplishing something, friends. And no doubt tonight, this is where we should get a good amen. The Bible is our sole authority, praise God. I don't get my authority tonight from any other resource. I've had people say, well, preacher, you're just very narrow-minded. You're exactly right, about as narrow-minded as this book right here. Amen, friend. If it's not in between this leather cover, I'm not going to go by it, praise God. This is our guidebook. This is our roadmap. I'm glad tonight that God did not leave us here without instructions. As a matter of fact, that's what the B-I-B-L-E stands for. Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is for. It's our roadmap. It is our guide. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank God we have His Word tonight. We have a guidebook that will lead us on every direction in our lives, friend. This book is our sole authority. We believe that tonight, don't we? No doubt about it, friend. And since His Word is our sole authority, thank God His Word teaches us that God is at work tonight. Aren't you glad that our God is a working God tonight? Our God is not sitting on His throne lazy. Our God is not sitting on His throne not caring about you and me. Friend, we have a working God this evening. And friend, what's so good about our God is that I may be here tonight in Clayton, North Carolina, but God is also working at the church that I pastor 600 miles away from here. I'm glad, friend, He's not just working here. He's working all over the world. I'm glad to tell you tonight, friend, that here at the Fellowship Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina, God's looking down saying, I want to do a work here. I want you to help us to be a channel of blessing that I can use for His honor, for His glory. God is working tonight, friends. That should excite us, hallelujah. That should get us stirred up knowing that God has a mission and God has a work for us to do. We believe that tonight, don't we? God is at work tonight. And the Bible just doesn't tell us what to do. It tells us how to do it. I'm thankful, friend, that the work of God, God has a procedure in the way that it should be done. Somebody say amen, friends. You ever bought something and it came with instructions of how to set it up? You better go by those methods, right? And when God has His ministry and when God has His work, I'm glad He just didn't leave us in the dark. I'm glad He just didn't tell us, well, upon this rock I'll build my church. And He just told us, well, you just try to do the best you can. No, we have the instruction manual right here. When God gives a work, He gives a method for the work. When every time there was a message given, there was a method behind the message. Every ministry had a method behind the ministry. I'm glad tonight that this book helps us. Not just what to know, but how to live by. This is what we go by. Thank the Lord, friend, that God has told us how to accomplish His work, friends. I'm glad I'm not in the dark tonight, praise God. Some of us, we want to be in the dark. Some of us think that ignorance is bliss, but over and over in that New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. God doesn't want us ignorant tonight. That's why He's given us a light, amen. He's given us His Word to direct us. Friend, God has given us a method to go by. But church, hear me and hear me well tonight. We're living in a day and time where people say methods don't matter anymore. We might as well say amen or hold me, church. We're living in a day and time, friend, where the ends justify the means. Well, as long as we do the work, doesn't matter how it's done. That's what they thought in this text here. Well, we'll bring the ark of God in, but they brought it in their own way, and we'll show that here in just a moment. Friend, when God gives a work, there's a certain procedure and a certain way God wants it to be done. When you live day in and day out, God has a certain way of living that He wants you to live by. Amen, friends. But we're living a day and time where methods don't matter. It doesn't matter what music you have in the church anymore. It doesn't matter what kind of Bible version you use anymore. It doesn't matter how you raise your children anymore, just as long as you're providing for them. It doesn't matter how you come and how you go and about your lifestyle. It doesn't matter what you watch. It doesn't matter what you listen to. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that methods do matter, friend. God's Word has something to help us by. And God's Word is our roadmap in our way of living. I heard one preacher make this statement, and it was very sad. He said, God is only interested in our theology. Listen to this now. He said, God only condemns idolatry and not methodology. Now that may sound a little cute because he was trying to rhyme theology and idolatry and methodology. But there's a problem, church. It's not bibliology. I can rhyme too, Brother Ennis. Amen. It's not bibliology. Methods do matter tonight, church. God tells us about His work, and there's a way that the work needs to be done. Amen and amen, friends. You say, well, it's not that big of a deal, preacher. Well, it's a pretty big deal how God created this world, isn't it? Imagine if God created Adam on the first day and Adam and Eve. God should have created them on the first day. It'd be pretty hard for them to stand without land. God didn't create land until the... Is everybody with me tonight? He didn't create the atmosphere until the second day so they have no oxygen to breathe. Come on now, church. It'd been pretty bad for him to create all the land animals. They wouldn't have any provisions. Somebody help me tonight, friends. You see, God had a procedure in the way things need to be done. Well, preacher, it really don't matter about our methods. Well, I'm glad that the Bible teaches us that we don't use the Lord's Supper in any old way. 1 Corinthians 11, they were having the Lord's Supper. But they were having it buffet style, preacher. They were bringing all that bread out, and then they were bringing all that juice out. Yeah, they were taking the Lord's Supper, but they weren't taking it the right way. Amen, friends. Y'all hope y'all see where I'm going tonight. Just because you do the work and you say, well, I'm doing the work, but how are you doing the work? Your methods do matter to God, friend. Let me say this, and this should get all of our attention. Jesus had to come and die, didn't He? Oh, He had to die for our sins. But I'm here to tell you, church, it was important the way He died. Amen. Well, He could have just been stoned. No, He couldn't have just been stoned. Because if He had been stoned, being stoned means that you broke the law. Jesus never broke the law. Amen, friend. Well, He could have been cast down from that hill that day, preacher, that they wanted to, and he could have died then, and he could have forgave all of our sins. His blood would have covered our sins from that. Oh no, friend, because that means He would have died in the hands of men. The Bible says that Jesus laid His life down. Amen. Don't y'all believe tonight that it was a certain way Jesus had to die? There was a certain method, a certain procedure that God had it planned. As a matter of fact, man first sinned in the garden. Man first sinned by a tree. Partook of a fruit. And what was the only way to redeem a man? By a tree. Hallelujah. He died on the cross for our sins on a tree. No doubt in my mind, friend, that Jesus had to die there at Calvary. Does everybody see tonight that there's a certain way God says His work needs to be done? But we're living a day and time where it doesn't matter anymore. Again, I know this is a fundamental Bible-believing church, but some of you may be on the fence tonight. Some of you may be wanting to go your own ways. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, to stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, not the new paths, not the new ways, but thus saith the Lord, the old paths, that ye may walk therein. It's the good way tonight. Well, preacher, you know, people are leaving after this new stuff. Oh, they are, aren't they? People are leaving the things of God. But you know what? Don't let that discourage you tonight, because they also left John the Baptist when he was preaching. Don't let that discourage you tonight, because they also left Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher to ever preach on the face of the planet. We should agree with that tonight. And the Bible says in John 6:66 that the whole crowd went away and walked no more with Him. He even turned around at His 12 disciples and says, we also go away. Is everybody listening, friend? Just because there's a crowd doesn't mean that it's correct. Boy, they got a big crowd on Sundays down there at the Carolina Panthers game, don't they, Brother Brian? But that'll make it a church. Amen, friends. May God help us to see that methods do matter tonight. You know what? They had the right master in the text. They weren't serving Baal. They were serving God. Does everybody see that? They were serving the right God. And we have homes and we have churches, they claim we're serving the Lord, the God of the Bible. They also had the right minister. David was a good minister. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the right king that God put in place. They had the right multitude there. This was not Gentiles. This was not unbelievers. Is everybody listening? This was Jewish children of God, friend, the children of Israel. They had the right multitude. They also had the right motive, I believe. Their motive was to bring the ark back for the things of God. And we have homes today. They have a good motive. They say they love the Lord. We have churches today. They may have a good motive and wanting to reach everybody. But I'm here to tell you, friend, there was the wrong method. And God did not bless this move because of the method. Is everybody listening? Because the Bible says it was set upon a new cart. Church, we don't need a new cart tonight. We don't need a new Bible. Let's stay with the King James, amen. We don't need new type of music, praise God. We need the same type that's always honored and glorified the Lord. Hey, friend, I'm not saying that you have to have a piano and organ. Friend, if you have a banjo, if you have a guitar or a mandolin, friend, drums, whatever, you can play those things the right way, amen. What I'm saying is we don't have to mix in our worldly methods in with God's methods, because God's method is always right and it always will be right. I hope tonight I'm solidifying several of you tonight to say, you know what, I'm going to stay with the things of God. Because we're living a day and time where apostasy is on every hand. And people want to live more loose and live their own way like never ever before. And when they hear preaching like this, they don't want it anymore. Amen, friend. But what are we going to do? Are we just going to back up and compromise for the crowd? Come on now, church. Are we going to back up our dress standards? Are we going to back up our holiness, convictions, what the Bible teaches? Friend, it's not time to back down. It's not time for us to look back. It's time for us to stay with the methods God has given us. Amen, friend. You mark it down tonight. If the way is not according to the word, then it's wicked. If the blueprint is not biblical, then it's bad. And if the system is not scriptural, then it's sinful, friends. You say, what was wrong with it being on the new cart? The Bible says in Numbers 4, verse number 6, and Numbers 7, verse number 9, you can write those references down, look at them later, they were not supposed to carry it on a cart. They were supposed to carry it on staves, and I'll mention that in just a moment. They were supposed to carry it up. But you see, we're living a day and time where we want blessed results without the biblical requirements. I hope that gets a hold of you tonight. We want blessed results without the biblical requirements. Oh, we want Psalm 126, verse number 5. We want to reap in joy, don't we? We want to feel good. But where's the sowing in tears that come first? If you want to reap in joy, you got to sow in tears first. Oh, we want to come bringing our sheaves with us, rejoicing. But where's the bearing precious seed and where's the weeping first? Is everybody listening tonight? Oh, we want 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Oh, God, heal our land. Oh, God, heal our land. But where's the humbling ourselves and praying and seeking God's face and even turning from our wicked ways? You see what I mean tonight? We say, God bless America, but America won't bless God. Amen, friend. You know why God has blessed America? Because America first blessed God. And friend, methods do matter. This can even apply to our country. Do you realize tonight that our Constitution was founded upon men that prayed and fasted and sought God's face for how our Constitution and government should be set up? We wonder why we're in such big trouble tonight. It's probably been a long time since our Congress has called a fasting and prayer meeting. Is everybody listening? I'm going to tell you our problem tonight. We think we can do it. You know why these churches are doing their own ways and going their own directions? You go to a church, it sounds like a rock concert. You go to a church and they've dumbed down the Bible to what they want it to say. Somebody say amen or oh me, church. I'm going to tell you why, because they're doing it their way. They want their dependence. It's their program. It's their ingenuity. It's no longer about the power of God anymore. It's no longer about getting God involved. It's about what man can muster up. Amen, friend. Well, we want to attract people. And I'm for that tonight. Amen. But I'm not for attracting people at the expense of being disobedient and displeasing to what this book says, friend. Jesus tried to attract sinners. He was a friend of sinners. But did you ever see Jesus go down to the bar and drink with them as a sinner? Hello, Tokyo. Did Jesus ever go down and jam with the lamb with them so he could try to bring them in? Oh, no. Jesus never one time compromised his stand on the things of God. Amen, friend. The people are changing. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, it is important how you dress. Amen. It is important what you watch on television. It is important what Bible version you use. It is important what kind of music is in the church service, because methods do matter to the Lord, friends. It matters to God. You say, preacher, what was wrong with the text? Let me give you these things and we're done tonight. Mark it down. Number one, they have the wrong transportation. The wrong transportation. Verse 3 says that they set the ark of God upon a new cart. They were carrying the presence of God in a wrong way. Like I said earlier, they weren't supposed to carry it on a new cart. They were supposed to carry it, the Bible says, one stave on one side of the ark, another stave on the other side of the ark, and there was a priest on each end of the stave, four priests. They lifted up the ark, but wait a minute, church, look at me. They didn't keep the ark by their side. The Bible says they put it on their shoulders. You say, preacher, why did they do that? Well, again, the ark of God represented the presence of God. Is everybody with me? They elevated God above themselves. God was exalted. Amen, church. We serve a high and a holy God tonight. We serve an exalted God. Does not the Bible tell us in Isaiah 6 verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on a throne, not down to the people. It was high and lifted up. Philippians 2 verse 9 says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friend, our God's throne is in the heavens. This earth is His footstool. And I praise God tonight that He is a high and a holy. He is an exalted Lord, friend. Our God is not like any other God. There's nobody like them, friends. But you know what they did by putting it on the cart? Look at me, church. Instead of them having it up here, they brought it down here. They lowered the presence of God. Lowered it down. Did y'all hear that? Lowered it down. We're having churches and Christian homes today. They're lowering down the conviction. They're lowering down the standards. They're lowering down God in their life. You know why they're lowering down God? Because they want to live their own lifestyles. They want to live their own loose ways. The church is lowering down the standards and the convictions banner so it can draw a crowd, friends. Let me say tonight, you don't measure a ministry by the multitudes. You measure the ministry tonight by the mission that it's trying to accomplish. Amen. You don't measure a ministry tonight by the magnitude of it. You measure the ministry tonight by its magnifying Christ. It's not about the crowd. It's about how it lifts up its Christ-likeness towards the Lord. Amen, friend. They were lowering down God's presence. Amen, friends. You say, preacher, why'd they do that? Oh, you're going to like this. This is not an original idea. Putting it upon a cart. You know where they got the idea? Back in 1 Samuel chapter 6, when the Philistines, and you study your Bible, the Philistines represent the world. They were using worldly methods to accomplish God's work. Nobody, it's not time to pray yet. It's still preaching time, amen. Amen. Oh, may God help us to see, friend, that God desires His will and His way to be done. Amen. The wrong transportation. Y'all see that tonight? The Word of God is not supposed to be lowered. God's presence and God's power. Notice this, there was the wrong transporters as well. They were not using Jewish priests to transport this ark. They were using other men. You say, preacher, what does that mean? God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be just. Hey, thank God for the family that sang up here tonight. Thank God for the musicians. Thank God for all of us here tonight. Thank God that I'm trying to stand here and preach, thus saith the Lord. But I'm telling you, it matters if my vessel's clean or not preaching to you tonight. We're supposed to be sanctified in serving God. Amen. Not only that, they not only had the wrong transporters, they had the wrong tunes, church. If you look there in verse number 5, it had all those instruments of music there. Now you're saying, preacher, is there something wrong with those music instruments? No, there's nothing wrong with the instruments, amen. But you know what's interesting? All those instruments were never mentioned in one verse until now in the Bible. You study all those instruments, this is the first time you'll find all those instruments mentioned there in the text. You say, preacher, what is you trying to say? And I was asking God, Lord, what are you trying to teach us here? And the Holy Ghost just simply said, it was about a performance instead of praise. Let me ask you a question tonight. When you do the work of God, is it about a performance or is it about praising Him? Oh, it may sound good, and I'm sure these tunes sounded good, preacher, but it was a wrong tune to the ears of God. It struck a wrong chord in His presence. Lastly, and I'm done tonight, I appreciate y'all listening. There was also a wrong touch. A wrong touch. Verse number 6 says that Uzzah touched the ark of God. He put his hand on it. You say, why is that big of a deal? Because the Bible teaches us in the book of Numbers as well that no flesh is supposed to touch the ark. And I want you to listen to me, church. I pray that this message has been a blessing and a help to you tonight. God doesn't need any help with His work. Let me say this tonight, preacher. Can I just borrow your Bible for 1 second? This book right here, it's never changed, and it still works. As a matter of fact, this Bible right here is still more up to date than the News and Observer that'll be hot off the press at midnight tonight. Amen, friend. God doesn't need any help adjusting His Word. We just need to stick with what the Bible says. But Uzzah had to help. Uzzah had to put his own touch on it. The Bible says in John 6:63 that the Spirit quickeneth, but the flesh profiteth nothing. Names are important in the Bible, and I don't think it's by accident that the name Uzzah means strength. He was doing it all in his own strength. Let me ask you tonight, church, when you serve God, when you live for God, when you study your Bible, when you pray, are you doing it in dependence of God or are you doing it on dependence of the Lord? Again, that's what's wrong with many of our homes. Why we're not raising our children right, why we're living our own way, we don't have God's dependence, we're doing it ourselves. Why are so many churches compromising, going the ways of the world? I mean, it seems like they're more interested in it being a rock concert and it being a Starbucks than it is about being scriptural. I'm going to tell you why, because they're trusting their own dependence tonight. Let me ask you a question. Are you trusting in God or are you trusting in your own flesh? Why is it that the ark of God shook? You know, the Bible says it went across Nacon's threshing floor. That ark should have never went across a threshing floor. Y'all know what a threshing floor is tonight, don't you? It's where they grind up wheat and it's when they grind up grain. Why is that, preacher? Because it was oxen that was leading the ark. The oxen saw the wheat and the grain on the threshing floor. They went after their own desires. It shook the ark with the wagon and the cart, and Uzzah needed help. Amen, friends. When you do things after your flesh tonight, you mark it down, it's going to hurt you, but it's going to hurt your family. Don't you know Uzzah had family? Don't you know Uzzah probably had children? I'm here to tell you tonight, when you do things your own way and doing it by your own standards, you're not just hurting yourself. You're going to hurt all those that are around you. There's no telling how many times this man of God sitting on the front row, no telling how many times some of you have wept over those that have left the things of God all because they wanted their own flesh. Amen, friend. It hurts when you go after the ways of the world. Church, let's just solidify what we believe tonight. Let's stay with the stuff. Amen. Let's stay with the things of God. It's not the time to dip our colors now. It's not the time for us to go after some new age movement. It's not time for us to start just doing things so we can attract the crowd. But it's time for us to stay with what God's Word has said. Methods do matter, friends. Methods do matter. You study the end of the text, they were blessed, didn't they? They brought it in right. You know, it would make sense tonight, you would think, to put the ark on a cart instead of putting it on your shoulders. But I'm going to tell you what I believe, friend. As those men were walking across tough terrain, it wasn't just four men holding the ark. There was probably a fifth hand on that ark. God Himself was probably helping them lift that ark. Amen, church. We don't need our touch tonight. We need God's touch. How is it in your home tonight? Hey, the reason I believe, and I'm trying to be kind, and I believe I'm preaching things in the right spirit, the reason so many are going after loose churches is because they're loose at home. Amen and amen and amen, church. It's because they're loose. Hey, get things right at the home. How are things at the house? How's our methods tonight? Are they according to this word? Oh, may God help us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, oh Holy Spirit, that you have worked tonight, that you have helped us. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. I pray tonight that we've been a blessing and we have been a help. Thank you for being so good to us. Lord, I pray that the people of God have received a blessing, that they have received your word well. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Lord, I pray that people would pray tonight, people would come, and just thank you, Lord, for the stand of this church. I pray they would come and say, Lord, we don't want things in the power of our flesh. I pray they would come. And they would desire to be right with thee. We ask all these things in Christ's name.